So this will be, I think, like a discussion. I think last time I said it too. It will, like a discussion, I will not give, I have no Das Teure, perhaps Das Ture, that's it. Because a Ture is a show, you know. That's yes. But that's not my point. I want that these things should be a basis for discussion. You are not obligated to say anything. But I will not take the achayas that I have to make decisive points or things like this. This is not my issue. Because I don't know the place so much. I know you a little bit. I know a little bit what's going on from other people who spoke to me. But we'll speak about a very burning aspect of this involvement in the Kehillah as a Haredi person. This is, how is it possible, or how do we have a direction to find the balance between all everything which is on the plate, you know? It's your personal life, your family, it's your involvement in the community. It is your own spiritual growth. That's my spiritual, that's the best thing, you know. I like that word, your own spiritual growth or whatever it is. You have to be still to stay a mentor somehow, you know, however this is difficult over here. And with all your involvement, somehow to be connected to Torah, somehow to be connected to your family, somehow to be connected to the community, and then everything is too much. And the plate is like a Italian, you know, spaghetti, which Napolitano, which is too much for the small plate, you know. Same thing, you know. So it's like too much, simply. So you have to find some balance. Or the Halaporos, to have a Havamina, that you will meet some balance. Yeah? So don't wait for clear guidelines and say, and then you can quote. But there's a list, there's a very bad quotation. It's not good. You have to have bigger rabbis to quote, you know. There's not good quotations, so we say. But to think together, that's a very good, I think that's a good thing. So I want to begin the discussion from a point which I think it is essential for the Hemshach over here. The first is, a person has to know his own qualities or uniqueness in the different areas he is involved. And it's amazing that, especially when you are working in Kyiv and you are working in a community, the need of the community is so big, out of the community, so big, that you are overwhelmed from these needs and you forget to think, what is really my quality which I am presenting in front of the tzibur? Yeah? Because everything is needed, and somehow I can provide everything. Because every human person has two eyes, two ears, even though when he's not musical. You know, a person which is, I have even family which is like in a pathetic way not musical. Just like ears, like kufsaot shimurim, you know. There's nothing goes in there, but they have still two ears. And most probably, I have someone in the Kehillah which always wants to go in front of the Omid. He has a terrible voice and is terrible unmusical. But it's amazing because he hears himself. And when you hear yourself long enough, then you think your voice is nice because that's the voice you hear the most. And then you think you are musical. And that guy wants to go in front of the Omid, and the people, they're just, they're fainting, you know. They don't want that thing. They even don't want him to say Kaddish. But he is absolutely positive that he has a very nice voice and he's very miskabel al tzibur, and the people really like him, you know. And he never... It's like an obstacle because... Okay, in Eretz Yisrael there is no need for a chazan, believe me. There are people that think there is a need for a chazan, so he will fulfill that need. But over here there are needs going on, you know. And you, as a human being, you have all different kind of traits. You do have that. You have a possibility to do things. Once in a while you have a possibility, as you think you are, it's impossible, and you blame your laziness. Which once in a while that's true. Once in a while a person is a little bit more, wants to have more comfort. But not always it's your laziness. A person has to be able to discern what are his qualities. because then he will be much clearer where is his main input into this whole thing. There are certain qualities at home, there are certain qualities in your communal involvement. So there are different qualities going on, and you have to have a possibility to be aware of that. For example, in my own case, my quality, when you want to say, to be involved in the tzibur in Eretz Yisrael, is the point that I am not afraid that things are not clear to me. That's where I'm needed. Because most rabbis today speak out of a very secure and clear position. Yeah, everything is a maskone, everything is known, and when something is not known, then you have a mesoiris. And then it's really known, because the former generation knew what's the truth. Never mind when you don't know it anymore and it doesn't fit the reality, but you still can quote what was said 100 years ago. So, or it's clear to you now, or it was clear 100 years ago, and that's it. That's the new rabbi. And my quality in the community is that I am not clear. That means, no, there's a problem there. And we have to measure up with that. And that's what people search. But I had to contemplate this quality, because first also I thought I want to be a Torah man, let's say. And I have to have 100% clarity and mekeres and clear-cut things, and that's the ideal matzav. I also was caught from that till I was thinking, what is the tzibur needing from me? Do they need another rabbi, which he tells them another few knowledgeable things? No, they don't need that. They have enough from that. They need me in another realm. And then it became much clearer what is my involvement in the tzibur, my personal. Yeah? I have a person which, according to my opinion, that was a chidush to him, but according to my opinion, this person is, the quality is that he is so squarely committed to Torah, you know? Like a person which is like a yeke, or like a whatever, you know, you have these square people which they are committed and the truth only and very truth bound, and I thought this guy will never be matzliach in any kirov chayki, because this is not shayach. You can't relate to the guy because he's not flexible enough. But this erlichkeit and this squareness is the right contrast to the place where he is, which is a very liberal place, similar to, I don't know, Portland, Oregon. So similar to here, which that creates a very interesting contrast to the community at large, which makes them seeing that this is for real. He would never think about that. Eh? But this is the quality he puts to the table. Eh? And so, for example, with such a guy, let's say, enough is enough, I have to move away from the place I am, and then go back to wherever it's, I don't know, most probably to the East Coast, you know, where there are more Haredi Jews. That guy would draw on, according to my opinion, because then he wouldn't be unique at all, because in Lakewood there are a lot of square people, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't play chess with a chess board which has more than 64, you know. Enough square people there. There's an enormous chess board there, you know. So they don't need another one like this. They have enough like that. And he would just draw. Because a drawing experience would be. He wouldn't be needed from the tzibur anymore. And then he would think that I'm so successful and I can be mashpi on people. But you're not aware where is your koyach, you know? So first the person has to understand where is his koyach. I make myself clear. And be very careful. Every human being has 248 Eborim, even though I can't count, perhaps Raf Fisher or someone else will be able to count. I tried once to count them. It didn't go, you know. I have an anatomy book home and I didn't reach the number. You reached it? You tried it once? I tried to reach the number. I didn't reach 248. I don't know how to do that. And they ask around, no one really, everyone says, yes, that's it. But it's Ramach Eivorin, you know, and every person has that. Every person. All of us have, you know, two eyes, two ears, two hands, two legs. But I'm not a baseball player. I'm not a musician. I'm not an artist. I'm not specialist in smelling perfume. No, even though I have a nose, I'm not. Even though I could do it, I could do that. I have all of it. It's a mistake. So we have first to have a certain clarity. Where are my qualities which are needed in this whole process? Yeah.
The Mashgiach said that sometimes we feel, you know, I'm used to myself. I hear my voice as good.
That'll be the next point. Okay. This I told you. I put myself happily into problems. That was one of them. You know, that is what I can offer to the people. Exactly this one. For example, now you got it. You see, because this is a dangerous place to be. Yeah, I put myself in a self-contradictory matzav. You know, you think you can do everything, and you hear your voice, and then you are convinced that you can do it. And now, like, what now? Yeah, that's a problem. That's what now. That's interesting. That what fascinates me, you know. And it's always dangerous. It's like going on a slope where you don't know whether you fall off the cliff. So it's like this. Rabbi Sol says that. You need, whenever you want to know yourself, you need someone else, which is not your wavelength, which you are able to listen to them, to his opinion and his critique. Otherwise, you will never know where you are. You will only know where you are through someone which is outside of you, which has not the same wavelength as you. Because as long as someone outside of you has the same wavelength as you, then it's only you. You need someone else. You need... Rabbi Sol says that. Rabbi Sol says that when you are team working, you need someone to tell you, you are going over cliff, you are going the wrong way. Someone which has not your qualities. Someone which is not the same way as you are. And he'll tell you, and he'll be open with you, and you're open to him. And then you'll see, this person says something, even though it's perhaps not so comfortable, even though that's not such a compliment, you know. But it is a fruitful discussion that I see that I can't do everything. That happened to me, for example, now. I am not afraid. I don't know that I'm not afraid. But I'm not so much afraid to speak to people. I have a neighbor, which his son is in jail now, out of some shtus he did. Or he has to bail himself out for a lot of money. Because that was a real attack on a person, you know. He put out phone numbers in order to disturb people. You know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say, I give you the phone numbers from the Pliny, I'm waiting with all of his children and his wife, and please call him a day and night in order to make him crazy. You shouldn't do that. That's illegal. That's criminal. The guy can sue you for... So today, perhaps over here in Oregon, you don't know these things, but in the Haredi Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael is ballistic today, you know. They are crazy. There are crazy people there. One of those meshugah. So I went up to the guy. I wanted to calm him down. I wanted to be showing him that I'm noticeable in chavayra. And I said him something. And Shabbos, he came back to me and said, "How did you dare to say this and this about my son?" I was shocked. I told him, I never said something like this about your son. Because you remember I spoke about this guy and that guy too. And you can't blame me that I said this terrible thing about these two people too. They are big people. I know. And afterwards by Mincha, I met the guy again. He's a good friend of mine. And he apologized that he was too much emotional. And I told him he taught me a big lesson. Because he taught me that I can't rely on my quality, that I'm not afraid of people. Because when someone is in uppermost stress and they want to comfort him, and they come to him and have no fear to come to him. My words, which I understand, are comforting words. By him, they have an entirely different flavor. And it is a chisoron, leichter. What you think is a meile is a chisoron. Because you think you have a meile that you are not afraid of people and you try to help them even though everyone escapes. That's once in a while a meile. But once in a while, this same thing is a chisoron. Voila. That was a big chisoron. He taught me a big lesson. I told him, you taught me a big lesson, shkeach, for you screaming at me. Because this is not a meile which is reliable. I have to modify that. I got a critique on a thing which I definitely thought that I'm specialist at that. I'm really not afraid. I was next to dying people. I spoke to them. Yeah? There was someone now which they told me he perhaps not survive a day. I end of Shabbos, half an hour before Shabbos, ran to the hospital to tell him shalom, only send good Shabbos. You know? I don't know whether I'll come back and I'll see him alive. And he has MS and he's a terrible matzah. People escape from such things. I don't escape. No, I'm going there. By that guy that is a big meile. By this other guy that was a big chisoron. That was a pkiyabinochavidotamirinoti. I need this critique, you know. I need the critique to see. This is not the meile which I have for granted. This is a thing I have to modify. There is a discussion going on. People tell me, you went over the cliff, you are too far, it's not so good. I need this discussion going on with other people in order to recognize really what is needed from me in the tzibur. Because not everything which I discern that I have and I want to give to the tzibur is a thing which I can really give. I have to have someone else which tells me, Atkar, that's not so good. Yeah? Okay? So that's Rabbi Saul. Yeah.
The Mashiach said that the person that is going to be the outside resource, the outside chaver, that should not be in the same way. I would think Adarama, because Aleph, the person will understand. I can understand what you're doing. Maybe not a person that's stuck in the same problem, but a person that thinks in the same way, that can understand what's going on, as opposed to somebody else who I don't have the same midas, I don't have any shaitas with it. Bays, especially if I've already gotten past that point, I could see I would have done that also, but you're going to smack into a wall. But doing that, I give the mashal of a, let's say, b'keva, if I have the same midas as somebody who I'm being B.I.H. is 10 years younger than me. Say, I know what you're talking about, but I'm telling you, I did it also, you're doing the wrong thing. So we're on the same wavelength, but I'm a shtickle past it, but on the same wavelength. Sorry, I would understand that person more than a person who have no shaitas to. I don't.
This is a very good question. I think we have to discern between a team and a Rebbe. It could be a Rebbe works with a Noise Bolim Chaveri, that he's more developed, and he, out of his Torah or out of his personality, is able to identify with you in your work and see it more clearly than you. But in a teamwork, I think in a teamwork, it's not the point that I am more developed than you. Otherwise, the whole team, in a certain way, is only one pyramida. No, a teamwork means that there is a broad spectrum of people, and I have to go through the criticism or the being looked at from people which are outside of my small realm. I understand you. For me, this was one of the most surprising things Rabbi Saul says. He says, the way I understand Rabbi Saul, he says, the way I say it, I tell you. I wouldn't say it on my own. Yeah, Rabbi Saul says that you have different people, which have different things, and you listen one to the other, and he speaks about these different people, and they are telling you critique on what you are doing. That's the way teamwork works. I think today in the modern society, in the modern way of leading a company, they are more prone to think like this, that the secretary should be able in a meeting to criticize the PR person. Even though I think today there are people which also say this is a constructive and a fruitful environment in a company when people which have nothing to do with my speciality are saying their input, because once in a while they open the eyes which we as specialists wouldn't see. Yeah? So they are pronim lekan ulekan. I am not denying that. I think by a Rebbe, you think more, I would think more the way you say. The Rebbe is more developed, and he's able to be noisable in Chavera with me, and he, in his mind or in his reality, went through that, and he will tell me that I'll hit the wall. That's a Rebbe. But as a person, which is on the same level as me, I would more be open to listen to people which are different than me, because I could learn from them too. And I'm not willing to, because I say, wow, well, who are you, you know? Ha, what's Winston from here? Ma, Greusig Dille, you know? But this itself, that is needed in order to show me where is my sense, yeah?
As perceived to somebody that's going to be, let's say, let's take the example you gave before, the very square person. So there's my list to that. So for me, myself, let's say I was in that situation, I have a hard time. The person that's very, very relaxed, so that's dumb. It's a person that doesn't, he doesn't see that mindlet to being square to begin with. What's the, how, you know, do you have an itza for the intellectual honesty of when are you going to say this person is actually honestly critiquing me, or is this person just b'chal doesn't see that mindlet that...
According to my opinion, but this is already a side discussion. I wanted to go further on, but this is a side discussion. According to my opinion is that truth always shines through to some extent. And when someone which is extremely squared or extremely relaxed, let's say, doesn't see at all that you have a maile, there is something to think about. Because, let's say, I don't know over here whether you like modern art, or don't like modern art, it's machleikus over here. Let's say you like modern arts. But there is a difference when you know Mondrian, the one which made these square things, you know Mondrian? And you have Mondrian, which is like, there's like squares of colors, you know, or rectangles of colors. And you have a Klee, and you have a Chagall, and you have a Picasso. But you could appreciate that. But you could appreciate that when you're only narrowed down to one composer or to one artist. Something wrong with your appreciation of art, even though you wouldn't hang a certain painter on your wall because it doesn't speak to you, but you still can appreciate that, because always when there is a grain of truth there, it should shine through. That's my take. I don't want to condemn people which have a problem with that, but that would be my take, yeah.
I think what the Rav is saying is that you have to be open, but it doesn't mean to change your koach. The Rav's mashal, he didn't change your koach, he didn't change your...
Yeah, of course. This is the point. This is the point. You are not receiving from the other. That will be the next point. You're not receiving from the other person. You don't say, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, no, I may never do that. No. I will, by the next guy, I will exactly go to him and speak to him. But I got a very nice tamping effect from my good friend that I am now balancing out my mile, and I will not use it blindly, you know. Of course I stay with that. I will not change myself. Then what's he...
I don't know if the Rav can also speak to the point that people are complex, and a person, obviously a person has 248 limbs, but even more than that, a person might have four or five strong kochos. And the Rav mentioned, well, there's this one thing that you give in Eretz Yisrael, but a person might really have several things. And I know that Rav Volba speaks in Ali Shor about how there's this circle of midos, and there's this one very high midah. It's not simple for a person to know what their highest meat is. They might have four or five, six things that they're very strong in.
Yeah.
Or three or four things they're very weak in.
Yeah, yeah. Look.
So how do you...
I'm not here to see... I wanted only to put that as a prerequisite for the Hemshach. I'm not about being makel your miles. All I wanted to say...
No,
we have
so
to,
how do you... But some say, how, so how does some one figure...
You see some miles. You see some miles out there. In practice, that's what I wanted. But you have to come to terms with that.
Right.
People don't come to terms. I know people don't come to terms, and it also stems from that, because the plate is full. Because the plate is full, and because you feel you're obligated, and because you are human and have resources for all different kinds of things, because of that you don't take your time to think, where is really my strength? So you come 5 or 6, but you wouldn't come on 248.
Right, right.
So that's my point.
Right.
Now, next point is, this is now a very important point in all of our endeavors. And this, I don't know where that comes from. And perhaps we have we are biased from all different kind of demands which are on us. But I feel our achrayus is to be open to a discussion, not to have a clear set opinion or a decision. And this is one thing which in a group setting is a very difficult thing. Because whenever I come into the discussion, let's say over here. So my comfortable place in Oregon is, excuse me. So my comfortable place over here in Portland is that I am not into the operation. It's not on my plate. I am not achoy. So I can be open to listen to everyone. And it's very interesting. And that's why inspiring. And I'm so really impressed from the families and from the people I see. And mamish, it's a big simcha. And I see different people and different kriyas. And I can be very open to that. Yeah? Okay? But you have to make a decision. 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 You have to. It's your achrayus. You have to make a decision. At the moment you have to make a decision, then all what we spoke now is closing down, and you get back to this tunnel vision, because you think my achrayus is to reach a decision now. Patch! And you close your eyes, because decision by you means I decide this. And I need the clear to decide this. That's why I have to focus on what I'm thinking is right, and that's it. And you don't know that in such a setup, which I feel that Portland is came to the point, which it's stable enough, it's big enough, it is interesting enough. People want to stay. Yeah, they want to stay here. That is what I see. So it's big enough and the achrayus is that I'm open to a discussion, and from there I'm reaching a decision. But not my achrayus is first place to reach a decision or have an opinion. It's a big. Those are two different mindsets you bring to the table, you know. And a lot of people which are working because they have to produce something, they think it will be much much more productive when I come and I know what has to be done. That's it. The achrayus is that you discuss. This is a big thing, which in a business setup, I don't know how that business setup works. It's a big thing that in a setup of the way I deal with Nerla Elef, I may say, I think Nerla Elef are too opinionated. I think that. Yeah, no, I have the black sheet. No, that's why I have the black this black sweater of North Face. No, it's good. Sad black sheep there. No. They're too much opinionated. Much too much opinionated. They have an opinion. And it always baffles me. How can you have an opinion being one day in a place and then you have an opinion out of the place? I know what he does, you know. I know exactly the guy. I know how the way he's functioning. Are you crazy? But it's not because they are megalomaniac. I thought once like this. This I record, you know. I know that's because I once thought, are they megalomaniac? You know, are they crazy? Are they crazy? Why can you define a person, and not only a person, a whole place, in one day? How do you dare to do that? The point is no. The point is they feel that there is an achrayus to reach an opinion. Yeah. I'm paid for reaching an opinion. Oh, good that it's finished. Huh? I'm paid to reach an opinion, you know? No. you are paid that you should interact with others. That's what you are paid for. We have to find a way, and I'm asking, we have to find a way how from a modus operandi, when you want like this, you know, how from a way of working that you discuss things, you reach decisions. And you mean, I understand that this has to be worked out. But the first thing you bring to the table is the ability to discuss. It's not the ability to decide. And this is like strange. Yeah, you have this like a strange thing, because people don't think like this. I am paid to have an opinion. I'm paid to make a decision. You know? No, I think you are paid to be'etzem discuss. And I personally think that there's no way of having an opinion before you discuss something. There's no way. And when you are erlich, you understand that from the Gemara. You know, when you look up the Gemara, we are speaking about with learners. There's not one point in the Gemara which is not discussed, only by Ezio Bekoyman in the Mishnah, you know? By Ezio Bekoyman is the only Mishnah where there is no Machloikas. One Mishnah. One place. There's no Machloikas there, no two days. Ezio Bekoyman says, what, you know why? Chatos says, I think, because the Akedah Zitzchok. By the Akedah Zitzchok it said, Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov. There was no machlokes between Avraham Avinu and Yitzchok Avinu. And that's why, by the Ezio Bekoyman Shel Zvochim, there's no machlokes mentioned. That's what the Rokeach says, I think. Or Rokeach, or somewhere, one of the Kadmonim said that. There's no machlokes mentioned, only in one place. Because it was the Vayichush Neim Yachtov. Okay. Fine! But Vayichush Neim Yachtov was after discussion. Because Yitzchok asked, where is the sea? And the Brahmin told me, that's right. So there was a discussion beforehand, and then they reached the conclusion, we will go both go together. That's right. But they reached the conclusion, both go together, though that's not mentioned any machlekes. Yeah? No machlekes going on. But all the other places, there are discussions. What would be the Gemara like when it would be written like an encyclopedia Talmudit? Tell me, what would it be? It would be the most boring book. You know, it would be crazy. A Jew without discussions, that's not a Jew, you know.
Right.
No teichente. So the achrayis is to bring to the table the keich of discussion. You can discuss a thing. And we can discuss a thing. That is not only more interesting, it's more erlich. Because then you're open that there's another opinion there, and then you discuss your qualities or what you want to do, and you're this open to another person which has other qualities, and then you find out more or less where is your strength and where is it reliable and where is not reliable. Not always it's reliable. Okay? Okay. That is about your communal involvement, which I wanted to make this twist in that, which I think over here in Portland, you are at this level. When I wouldn't come to Portland, I'd better say like this, to Portland only because of that.
We're not Macbeth.
We're not Macbeth? No. I try to get the E right, you know, Oregon, you know, stuff like this, you know. So, when one of the big things I thought coming now, because I got the impression through the phone calls or whatever it was, the phone, when you call Skype a phone, you may... Over here, you may say Skype, you know?
Whatever it is.
Yeah. You can't say Skype. Yeah. So, with the Skype or whatever it is. So, I got this impression that over here, you are in a stage where you can't do this. I understand in the beginning stage, when the thing begins, and there is a question whether the thing survives or not, you know, the chlal, then you are fighting with all of your muscles, and it's only this focused way of doing it which will break through the wall. That's what we think, whether that's true or not, we can discuss that. But this, then I wouldn't interfere. You know, I'm not crazy to interfere. But I think now, over here, we reached a place where there is substance there. You know, there is some substance there. The shul has to grow, and there is substance in the place. And it's not the war about whether there will be substance or not. There is substance over here which you can work with. When it is substance to work with, this way of doing it is much more fruitful, is much more successful. Because it will bring you into a position which is handleable, and you are not always overwhelmed, because you are aware that you are not an all-rounder, you are not an Alice Kenner, you know, you can't do everything, and there's not everything on your plate, because you have limits to your keiches, which are obvious also in the group, which you are discussing with that. You are not ashamed that there are limits, and there are things like this, and why are you doing it like that? These discussions have to take place in order to take down the amount which is on your plate, because otherwise you won't find the balance with home or with other duties. And this is the second thing I wanted to touch upon. Yeah? I think that is now. Yeah. So, the first thing I want to speak about your home is, and not always you are aware of that, the first thing children will grow up healthy and good is when they have happy parents. Yeah? Not when they are happy children, no. When they are happy parents. The first thing. And to your amazement, Rabbi Soil defines happiness when you are working according to your strength. Mm. That's the definition of happiness. Rabbi Soil Michtav Lamed. Yeah? It's an absolute new definition of happiness. Happiness doesn't mean Breslav or whatever it is. I told you also on the tape, you know. So happiness doesn't mean that. No, happiness doesn't mean even that you are music or things like this. Happiness means you are working hard, but according to your strength. Yeah? So, let's be honest, I had an old aunt, which that was an old... it was a great aunt. She was the last survivor from the former channel. It was an aunt of my mother, you know. So she met me. She was Mizrahi and a rich person. And I met her at the King David Hotel. That's good. Friday afternoon, met her at the King David Hotel. And she told me, Leichter, you are a blessed person. So I looked at her, you know, I am a Haredi, a rabbi, you know, so what. She said, you are a blessed person that you are making your panosa from something you like to do. Because most people are making panosa from something they don't like to do. And they need free time and distraction. And I know that this itself is a flaw by me, because I was absolutely surprised. How could it be that a person dares to work in a field where he isn't happy, you know? Wie kannst du das tun? You know, can you do that? I was surprised. I thought, everyone does it. And then I went home, and I began to think, and I saw, you know what? Most people don't do that. Her husband was working in a schmatte business, you know? So in other words, she told me, my husband became very rich, but he didn't like his job. He had his hobbies. So the point is, I look at my life, I basically don't have any hobbies. Or the hobbies I have, they are broadening my own experience, which I work with. But I basically don't have hobbies. Yeah? So whenever you are working the way we spoke beforehand, we should be led to a place that we can be involved in the communal work in a happy way. Yeah? And this, once in a while, I see that people are stressed out. But really, you know, at home, stressed out. So, making a lot of work, that's legitimate. And being afterwards a little bit overwhelmed, that's legitimate. But to be stressed out because you work in the wrong place with your personality, according to my opinion, it's not legitimate, especially in a communal setup. Because the community needs your strength, doesn't need your input. The community needs your strength. That's why you are here. That's my emuna. My basic belief in the Borei Olam is that he puts you for the community, perhaps when you make business out of North Face or of Nike or whatever it is, how you say Nike. Nicht schlecht, yeah. So when you make business out of this, could be when you are after money, could be you are after money not according to your strength. It will be unhealthy. You have to go to the Caribbean or to go to somewhere for a few weeks and a year, you know, otherwise you'll collapse. That could be that you make money not according to your personal strength. That could be. But being involved in a community not according to your personal strength is, according to my opinion, a kfir in the boy royal. You tell him, Kilo, you don't know who to put here. And you put the wrong guy in the wrong place. Because not my strength. Yeah, that the boy royal knows where to put you, because his interest is the community. Tamaskim?
Are we supposed to be the makabel that wherever we are within the community and what we're doing within the community is our strength?
This I am not sure. It could be you have to modify your place a little bit or your way a little bit. That could be. I personally had to modify that. Is my strength to be a mashgiach in yeshiva? I was a mashgiach in yeshiva and I was working very hard, and people, even the mashgiach of Olbe, held I was matzliach. And I was matzliach there. And I had bochim which they were very much mekabel from me, but there were problems. And this is a part of my character, disposition, or flaw. The same thing, I'm not afraid. That when there are problems, I don't close them up. I go to deal with them. So I chapped a ganev which ganved with a credit card from a chava. I chapped someone which was forging checks. I chapped someone. You can't imagine. Boris Soloveitchik told me, whenever you will be out of business, go to the police. They'll take you, you know. But I did that because I felt obligated. And it was not a pleasant thing for me. But I felt it was on my plate. And I felt I have to do it. And I was working hard in a way. And like I said, the boy Roland put me here. But then came someone to me and said, you better work with adults. And there was someone, which I can't tell you that, someone which even didn't reveal his name. It's like crazy. He didn't tell me who I am. I can't tell you my name. Rely on me. I will support your kail, and it's a reliable thing. What's your name? Don't know. Don't tell you. I didn't even know his name. I went home, told my wife, I have the feeling I can't rely on the guy. And I go with him because I want to get out of that matzav. And I made a call, and it was the right decision. The guy is very reliable. Today, everyone knows him, you know. And it's like a brother of mine. And we work together a lot, and he's a very good friend. He's a very rich man. He's like a brother of mine. But in the beginning, I didn't know the name. It was like irresponsible to do that in a certain way, you know. And you only have gut feelings. You don't even know the name of the guy. You know?
Doesn't have a person have bechira to make choices that maybe don't reflect their best kochos?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. But in the end, the community is the interest of the b'roilim. It's like hiviu bechira.
Yeah.
The community, my opinion is, the community is the interest of the b'roilim. When you reach in one place the feeling that we spoke about that today. When you feel in one place, in one moment, that the Boreh Olam is not interested in what you do, not especially over here, only in the involvement in the community, that's better. That's not, the Boreh Olam doesn't want that. But who tells me the Boreh Olam wants Emunah, you know? But who tells me how old is the universe? 5,700 years? What is with figs, you know, Teretz? You know what? You don't know. I know, I don't know either. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, no one knows. You know, it bothers you. No, it doesn't bother me. My great-grandmother wasn't living then, so it's not really interesting when the universe was created. And you know what the Teretz is? No one really knows. You know, Schroeder makes a very modern argument which has no legs in physics. Nee, es geht nicht. Eine Lüge der. It bothers me, no. But when I would have a question whether the Boreh Olam is interested in my involvement in the tzibur, perhaps they doesn't care about anything, then I'm in a problem. No, because that's a basic emunah. Basic emunah, the Boreh Olam is interested in Jews, you know. That's basic Emunah. That's to go along with you, yeah? And you have to be clear that the Bira Olam himself is interested in your involvement in the community. It could be you make a choice which is spooky or not so clever, and you have afterwards to modify that choice. But in a general way, your involvement in the community is for absolute importance, and you may have an emune that that is what the Bira Olam wants from you. Umimele, when you think that you have to work in that case, not according to your kaiches, that's a question of emune. Atamimim, it's a question of emune. Because he put you here. And he wants you to be here. So he wants your kaiches, he doesn't want your craziness. Atamimim.
Is the Rav saying that if we think that we're not working within our kaiches, we should realize one of two things? There's two ways I can understand. Either that means we should change and find what is our kaiches, or that the thing which we're doing is our kaiches and we just don't realize it. Which option?
So, yeah, this is one of the very good questions. Because once in a while you reveal your kaiches. But you have to know, when you are too long feeling that you bent backwards and you nearly break your back, you may assume that's not your kaiches. Huh? But for example, myself, I can't speak only about myself, but I speak because I know myself a little bit. You know, I experience myself. I don't know. I experience myself. So I say you do most from there. You shouldn't change your way of thinking. But I changed it. But I didn't change it because I found I have to change my way of thinking. I was a mathematician originally. I was one of the best mathematicians in University of Zurich, you know, as a young boy. The professors, they loved me. They took me to a postdoctoral seminary when I was in first year university, you know. Tuesday night, I was sitting there, I drove them crazy about philosophy and mathematics, and he loved me, and I was loving the thing. I went to yeshiva, and I saw mathematical thinking is not good for the Gemara. It doesn't. So, and then I worked hard. But the working hard, after not a long time, revealed to me, that I have another possibility of thinking. The one which opened that up by me was the Alter von Kelm. The Alter von Kelm, I took the Alter von Kelm, I took it in my head, and the professor turned it over to understand what he means. It was like a grinding machine. Mathematics doesn't do that. Mathematical thinking is a structural thinking. Mm. You see the structure in algebra over here is like the structure in set theory there. And then I was gifted in that when you want. Yeah? I was very special in that. Mm. I could see things no one could see, you know? But in the Gemara it doesn't work like this. Yeah, you can't say that's what, for example, Aumann did, you know? He took the Gemara in Ksuvis, and he learned a krumme pshat in the Gemara in Ksuvis, but he says the structure of the Gemara in Ksuvis by the Köschel, you know, the Aumann had a Nobel Prize on that, and he says the structure of the Gemara in Ksuvis is like the structure of the decision making in my theory. It was a big Kiddush Hashem, but it was a krumme pshat in Gemara, you know. He can't learn the Gemara. I sign you that the pshat.
I got a Nobel Peace Prize.
No, I got a Nobel Prize for that, but that's not the pshat in the Gemara, for sure not. Yeah, I sign on that. It's not the pshat. No, it's not the pshat. For sure not. Everyone who's learned the Gemara in Ksuvis, you know it. You know.
I saw the piece.
You saw the piece. That's a krumme pshat, you know. No, but it's crooked there. Yeah, good. Never mind. But that's the mathematical thinking. You know, I was exactly like this. I wouldn't get the Nobel Prize, okay? but just exactly like that, you know, you see the structures in the structure. And then I worked hard not to do that. And then I revealed I'm able. But it took a year. It didn't take endless. But then you can assume you can't do that. You want to ask something?
So if you're happy most of the time, then you can assume that you're probably using your co-host.
Yeah. But this is the central part of the connection of your children. We don't get that. A lot of people tell me, I, for example, a guy like in Kirov, and he's very happy because he's very much Matzliach. But my children and the environment and what will be and it's like and what will be with this influence of iPhones and things like this and what was built signed off. I have to go back to the more Hamishe community, you know. You don't know, in Lakewood there's no Eindfors, and in Muncie for sure not, you know. Oh, no Eindfors there. No. But you had to go to the Hamishe community. And then he would be miserable, but the children would be in a good environment. And then the children go off. Then they go off. Shalom. No, then they go off. Because when you have miserable parents, then the children have no home. The children have no simcha at home. Simcha at home doesn't mean excitement. Perhaps I have to tell you that. Simcha, a lot of people in this Western civilization, they make a mistake. And they have a mix up between simcha and excitement. Excitement is something else. When you go to Disneyland, you are excited. But you are not sameach even 1 second there. Even 1 second. When you would pay me, I wouldn't go to the roller coaster. Is that a simcha that you feel you fall 5 stories and in the end you don't die? Is that a simcha? When that is a simcha, I am a kugel, you know? That is no simcha altogether. That has nothing to do with simcha. Gur nicht. It is excitement. You call that over here adrenaline. This is not connected to simcha altogether. Not. Excitement. Not. I always have this discussion with people which get engaged and they want to have someone which is now, perhaps it is an excitement. What you want at home is mnuchas hanefesh. You do not want at home an exciting home. When your wife will greet you tomorrow night and she changed the living room into the bedroom and the bedroom into the living room and said, that's exciting! You will tell her, I will not step over this footstep before you change everything back, you know? No, I don't want that. I don't want an exciting home. So, yeah? I come in.
Maybe there's an inning of bitachon here that a person has to let go of the areas that they're not masuchel to work in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's what I mean insight.
You know, but that could also be a challenge because, and let's say for example, someone's running an organization and they feel, you know, it's not my koach, let's say to raise money or something or some other thing which is vital to the life of the organization.
Don't be talking. Right? Yeah, okay. So, be talking
but
kicks.
I want to touch on that. Yeah. Well, what about there are certain people, they don't have that option?
No. This is the part of the discussion which I say beforehand. This is a question of where you are holding. What I came to Portland is exactly for that point. Because I hold as an organization or as people which are working together, you're holding now at the point that you can have a fruitful discussion which everyone is positively engaged and not negatively engaged. I can have a discussion which is negatively engaged. There's some uncomfortable issue there, for example, fundraising, uncomfortable. So I basically make like this. And then we'll discuss, you know. But basically, I turn my back to it, you know. That's what I do. I turn my back to it, but we'll discuss it. But I turn my back to it. I think you are over that stage. That stage is there when you are in the beginning and someone has to run in. Otherwise, the whole thing will be or not to be. And we came under the assumption, be or not to be, you know. We didn't come to no one of you came to Portland because you were sure that 10 years down the road you will be still here.
Let's take a less, you know, inflammatory example. Let's say you're running an organization, and programming and relationships are both important to the organization.
Yeah.
And someone feels, look, I really excel in relationships, but I don't like running programs, or vice versa, right? So there's two things there, right? So there's, in a certain sense, and both things are vital to the organization, so then there's an issue of bitachon, right?
Or
first,
can I add, or let's say an organization needs a camp or a teacher, whatever, and then you feel like you're taking that job because you're needed and there's no one else, but it's not necessarily what you want to be doing or what you're
supposed to be doing. I am not against fire extinction. When there's a fire burning, you're making a distinction, but that's not the way to operate the whole time, yeah? So there is a point, I can't know now how that works out. Of course, I speak out of a very comfortable situation, which I'm outside of this whole thing. I don't know now, the more, how do you say it, the more
inflammatory
issues, you know, even though fundraising is always an inflammatory issue.
I've had bad some, yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. But whatever, I don't know exactly. But for example, such a thing, you have a camp, and someone has to teach. So when there is a discussion going on, there will be a possibility to split that for two, and you don't have to do it yourself, and one day another one comes in. But when there is no discussion going on, and there is a thing which the camp comes up, and there's one day left, and no one discussed the thing, and you see that no one is there to teach, and you are the only one which sees that, then jump in without this, you see, without discussion, and you extinct that fire single-handedly. In a setup we have now in over here in Portland, that's nonsense. That shouldn't be. That should be discussed beforehand. And discussion is a lot of times, I don't know how your mind works, but according to what I see, because we have over here different minds over here in Portland, so you, once in a while you have very, very creative ideas which come up only by a discussion. Because discussion means that everything goes. Because it's, again, not a decision and not an opinion. That's what I meant, the achrayus for discussion. You know, for example, I had a discussion about learning in yeshivas. It's learning in yeshivas today reached a problematic point. Yeah, let's be honest. The learning in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, it reached a problematic point. They came out, don't learn anything anymore, you know. They learn only a few daf in the beginning, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And you can't grow with Talmid Chochem like this. And they are always hearing shiurim, and there's some crazy thing going on that after the shiur base, you don't want to listen to shiurim. I remember myself, I went to Rav Nochum because I knew how to learn. I didn't listen to a shiur because I don't know how to learn. This is what I did when they gave me the bottle, you know, that's like a bottle. Okay, I need the bottle, I don't know how to eat myself. But I went to Rav Nochum because I knew how to learn. I went to listen to Rabbi Mendel Attik because I knew how to learn Eruvin. That's why I wanted to hear his shiurim. Today this is gone. This is gone, you know. There are Bochim and Avrechim which you don't listen to anything. You know it exactly. It's such a crazy thing. What do you do? So we discussed that. So I had a crazy idea. I'm not responsible. I don't have a yeshiva. I don't say shiurim. Nothing, but I have ideas, and because we were sitting together discussing, and the responsibility wasn't to decide, was to discuss, there were very interesting tzedakim mentioned. Very interesting. But when the responsibility would be to decide, then no interesting thought would come up, you know? Because I really want to do that. No, for sure I don't want to do that. For example, my proposal was, you will, the first 15 minutes, give a bocher to say the daf, or to say the shir. And only after 15 minutes you'll go up. And the first 15 minutes sit in. Yeah? Wow. Yeah, but we have to speak to the whole yeshiva, and everyone has to be masking with that. Yeah, this is the point that you, the answer of the Magid Shir was, I can't take the responsibility to decide like this. But I wasn't responsible for a decision. I was responsible for a discussion. And then they came up very interesting study, you know. But when you are responsible for a decision, your mind is closed. Because... And suddenly you don't see that there are other study and other things coming up which could be very helpful, which simply you don't see because you are under pressure of decision. Yeah? I think that's normally what's going on. Okay, but again, working at home, but when you are home, the central point of home is that the parents are happy. That's a central point. This is a lot of times, it's upside down. You want to excite your children. You want to make them happy. And you don't really know what makes them happy. So you fulfill all their demands. And you want to do that. And then perhaps you spoil your children. That's perhaps not happening over here. But you do all these things which are an upside down tfise. The tfise is upside down. No. We are we have the Jewish home and the Jewish Orthodox home and the Jewish parental home, the Jewish, when you want this old-fashioned way of there are parents, you have to have kibud avoim, and there is something like this going on, which a hierarchy at home, which is a very old-fashioned thing. I know that today, this, over here in Portland, for sure, you have open families, and there's a half mamzeres going on in the whole town, you know, and that's the ideal matzah for children to grow up. It is not. It is not. Because you have no one to relate to, and you have no content. Happiness, perhaps, is the best way to say it, is content. You are content. That's much calmer than happy. Yeah? It's much closer to what it means, simcha. To feel content with what you do. Yeah? That's a deep feeling. Yeah, what is?
The Rav mentioned that it's not legitimate to feel stressed out, but... What about overwhelmed?
Yeah, okay. So this is the point. You have to work hard. And the hard work itself can have a toll. But, for example, this I also know for myself a little bit. I once in a while I work too hard. But it never puts under question whether I work the right thing. It was simply too hard. So I need a break from the hardship of the work.
But you love it.
I love it. I love it, but it's a break from hardship. That's legitimate. But when it comes up that you say, I make a mistake, it's not my thing at all, you know, then you have to think twice or think again whether it's the right thing to do. Because the children, that's what the children need. The children need that you are content or happy, whatever it is, you know, this word. Yeah, okay? That's what first. Now, this is the last point. 9:15 is Ma'ariv.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good for me, you know. So this is the last point, and this is the point which is the most difficult point for me to address. Children have needs. Yeah? Children have needs. And you feel that you don't meet the needs of the children because you are all involved in the community. And now, it's a very nice thing to say, family is always first. And then you say, Omein kein yirotz. But it doesn't work. Yeah? Okay? That's the answer. Let's be honest. This is nonsense to say. It's nonsense. No, it's nonsense. You can say family is always first. That's nice for the paper. It's nice for the Sefer Zikaron. It's nice for everything. But in reality, it really doesn't work. I ask the Mashgiach, I ask the Mashgiach how you balance, as a man, how you balance your family involvement with your work involvement, how you do that. And Mashgiach looked at me and says, I have this question for 70 years, and I don't know the answer. 70 yom, 70 shana. Yeah? And I don't know the answer. That's what he said. So what's the answer? The answer is not knowing the answer. The answer is that the question is on the table, and you deal with it. Not knowing the answer. That is good for the answer. The answer is that you feel that tension. The moment you cease to feel the tension, you're gone. When you cease to feel tension, you're gone. Yeah? When you don't feel that there is a need of your children, which they need you, and you don't know how to make that balance, then you are off track. Because you cut through the gumi, you know, you cut through the thing which is connecting you to the family. You cut through that. You may not cut through. It creates a tension. That's what I learned from the Mashgiach. Yeah? Of course, the first moment when the Mashgiach told me I have this question for 70 years and I don't know the answer, by me it was very comforting because I thought, I'm in the same boat as him. And it took me time to understand that this is the answer. I first thought that, so I'm not alone, you know, in my non-knowledge, you know, so it makes me very good feeling. And after a time I understood, no, this is the answer. He gave me an answer because he told me, I don't know. That's the answer. Yeah, because there is a tension there which is not known. What we have to know, and this you have to monitor. I don't know exactly. I don't know how parenting works over here. But let's say like this. The Baran said, when you are giving to the community, I give haftocha that you are matzliach with your children. So, okay, but I see that over here in Portland, that's very interesting, I see that. But it's a very big hatzlocha I see with children. But Rambam didn't say, when you are taking a gun and loading it with a bullet and shoot your child, and you are involved in the community, your child will not die. He didn't say that. Yeah? You can't shoot your children. You know, you can't do that. So, but there is, that what Rabban meant, there is a certain, it's not a bitochen like, I would say it, there's a certain other set of mindset, which I heard that over and over again from children from Klei Kodesh, which were matzliach with their children, that part of what parents normally take care of, the children took care of themselves. We have to begin to see a mahalach in that, what can children be taking care of themselves? You have to give more belief, you believe more into your children. I saw that by Klei Kodesh in the former times too. You know, you see, I asked once the Rabbitson Volbe, she was a daughter of Rabbi Von Grudzinski, which his wife passed away. And I told her, your father educated you. So she looked at me entirely puzzled and said, we educated ourselves. We were not educated from anyone, you know, that's what she said. So I don't tell you that you have this strength, the way they had in Slobodka, which there are very educated people, the children of Rabbi Avraham, you know, very, Rabbi Yitzchok and the Rebbetzin, they are very strong people, they're very. But they educated themselves. And when you look at other people, the influence from parents of children by the Klei Kodesh are much more strength than particular education. They're much more that than particular education. This is what I feel, which is going on by Klei Kodesh. I can't say more, much more than that.
Because they see and emulate. They see that we're teaching and doing and working, and so they emulate, or because they see, they appreciate if there's simcha and there's work, and they appreciate the work, so they're willing to take on responsibilities. But Rav Ram's kids, it was because there was no mother, and
I wouldn't say emulate. I wouldn't say they see the simcha. And they see the importance of your involvement in the community. They see that. For example, my children, I myself never learned with my children. Never did that. Obviously, one ever went once in my life. And then my children said, Atkan, no more. Because obviously, one, I did it the wrong way. Because obviously, one is made like this. You sleep a little bit, you know, and then you ask your child. I made it the whole action. You know, there was a pora, the shor, and the chamor, and the... That's not the way to do it. I never learned with them. But what did they see? They saw that when I come home, I use the phone in order to ask my friend my newest Einfall in Eirovin, or what I learned, or when I learned differently in Das Tunis. I was excited about the Chiddush I had. And I'm able to call America whenever it's needed, or wherever, in order to look whether that's good or not. And the children saw that. That made them into masmidim. But not me learning with them. They learned with me when they were 20, when they were 18, but not when they were 11, 10. They never learned with me. Never. Not Shabbos, no. They were having a good time together, Shabbos. But they saw me being interested in learning, and happy with that. And that made much more an impact. That was by me. I can't say much more. This is the part I don't want my wife to listen, because then she said, yeah, you don't know what to say because you were not involved in the mitzvah, you know? That's what she would say. So that's why it's good that there's only a short time left that we have to leave now to for Mayriv, you know? But I wanted to put on this a little bit of change in the paradigm of thinking, because I hold that the people here in Portland, this is the stage you are in. This discussion, this going together, this not feeling that's all on your plate because there are other people there. And it's enough substance over here to work together. That's what I feel, which I wanted to give over to you. Okay? Whenever that's good for you. So I think it was very interesting for me to think about that. It's very happy. I'm very happy to sit with such a quality group together, which is not normally met in this part of the world, you know? So that's a very big thing. I'm really impressed about what's going on here. Really. And I want to wish you the best hatzlach. I try to do my best to give this shiur, which I was only informed 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. Can I get the rabbi to answer?